Hey there. American teenagers spend an average of 10 hours and 45 minutes consuming media every day. This has brought a major issue concerning the way some groups are represented in our media. I'm Chaz, and this is a show I'm calling You Can't Be What You Can't See. This show will mostly consist of issues surrounding the way women and femininity are represented in media today. From birth, women are taught to use and manipulate their bodies. They're taught that they have to conform to a set of standards in terms of what makes them beautiful or ladylike. That these standards are what make them who they are, and that if they don't fit the standards set by society, they have no value. It's things like this and so much more that reduce women to not a person but an object in the eyes of others as well as themselves. I've looked into an organization known as the Representation Project, which uses media to expose injustices created by gender stereotypes and to create a consciousness towards change. I'll also be playing some artists that are known for their association with the Riot Girl movement and their feminist messages. Before I get into the concepts and information, here's Identity by X-Ray Specs, which highlights the issues of women conforming to an identity given to them by television and magazines. Welcome back. This is You Can't Be What You Can't See on 91.9 FM The Cave, where I'm going over the issues regarding the way women and femininity are portrayed in the media. With magazines, television, movies, billboards, and social media, women are constantly bombarded with images, tips, and articles that control their lives more than we may realize. So much progress has been made in regards to film and similar mediums, wherein women have been portrayed with strength, power, control, and other human qualities that, in the past, were unjustly considered male traits. However, advertisements still objectify women beyond belief. The old cliche that sex sells doesn't seem to have worn off when considering the past few years have contained commercials and other ad campaigns relying on the sexualization and objectification of the female body. North American chains, including Carl Jr.'s, Axe, and American Apparel, have been using sexual imagery involving women to sell their products over the past few years. Artists such as Robin Thicke, Flo Rida, and many others use sexualized images of women in their music videos, and mostly refer to them as a sexual object. All the while, empowering women in the world, including Senators Hillary Clinton, Wendy Davis, and Letitia Vanderpoot, are reduced to their appearance, or referred to as stupid, irrational, hysterical, or some other words that can't be mentioned, rather than their strong ideals and support for what they believe in. It seems no matter how hard any woman works to be considered a serious, opinionated, intelligent person, they always end up reduced to their parts or belittled simply because of their womanhood. Women not being taken seriously in politics is a prominent issue, and it genuinely needs to change. Women make up 51% of the population in the United States of America, and yet women make up only 20% of the U.S. Congress. Many countries around the world have had female presidents or prime ministers, while the states have been effectively shutting down the concept of a female presidency because they believe a woman is not fit for office. How can 71 countries be wrong? Major arguments usually concern hormones during menstruation or irrational behavior, which apparently is a very female trait, and only female according to many major television, radio, and internet personalities known for their discussion of politics. News anchors also tend to treat women as if they were some sort of animal. When a woman in a discussion is stern and holds true to her beliefs, arguing frustratedly, men have been known to call them out for being dominant or raging with hormones, even irrational. As Rachel Maddow said, "You can be 79 years old. You can be the chair of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and one of the most recognizable and widely respected veteran public servants in our nation. But if you are female while all of those things, men who defeat you in arguments will still respond to you by calling you hysterical and telling you to calm down." Women in politics is apparently a long shot to many in North America, and if I haven't provided example enough, listen to this firsthand experience of Jennifer Siebel Newsom from her TED Talk concerning misrepresentation, her documentary, which concerns the very subject I'm discussing.
When my daughter Montana was born and my husband Gavin Newsom was mayor of San Francisco, not surprisingly, Montana received many comments on her looks and lots of pink. A little over a year and a half later, when our son Hunter was born, Hunter received fewer comments on his appearance, lots of blue, and interestingly, quite a few bibs, onesies, and silver cups, all displaying White House insignia. He even received a letter from the president and the first lady, and separately a letter from the vice president and second lady welcoming him into the world, suggesting that the world was his oyster and that he was its pearl, that he could do and be anything. Well, we were extremely appreciative of such gifts, even though secretly I wondered why the White House hadn't sent such gifts to Montana. And then I had an epiphany, whereupon, in opening yet another package for Hunter, I discovered a blue t-shirt with messaging in large caps, "Future President." Wow, I thought. Montana, our eldest, but also our girl, didn't even receive the suggestion that she too could be president, that her opportunities in life were limitless. It's innocent acts, or non-acts like this, that happen every day, that send very subliminal messages to our daughters and sons right out of the womb about who they can and cannot be. And our young girls, who hear all those comments about their looks and so few about their capacity to lead, are handicapped with the notion that their value lies in their beauty, while their brothers and male peers learn early on that they are our natural-born leaders. Our biological differences aside, it really does start with something as simple as a t-shirt and dressing up.
The power of this message is undeniable, and the emotions surrounding the implication that her own daughter couldn't amount to greatness like her son could simply because of our society's established gender roles is intense. Teaching our daughters to hold value in their beauty or image while we teach boys to be leaders is incredibly wrong and damaging to not just young girls, but boys as well. Before moving on, here's Heart Factory by Sleater-Kinney, a song about breaking out of perceptions and showing that girls are more than just parts. The outstanding issue of women in television, movies, and other forms of entertainment stands in women being displayed as weak, useless, or annoying, rather than strong, independent, or intelligent. While the past few years have yielded amazing stories in different mediums portraying real women, we still haven't escaped the big problems of women being used for a centerpiece, eye candy, or just a mouthpiece for bad jokes that demean or break down their personalities. The importance to stories with female characters isn't in solely making them strong, empowered, or whatever outstanding trait, but giving them a personality. We have to give women a real sense of humanity in stories. Have them try, you know, based on their merits, make mistakes, learn, teach others. Women have all kinds of experiences, and the key to representing them is to keep them realistic and not to hold them to standards that have been built up over generations of sexism or misogyny. A better explanation can be obtained from Rosario Dawson, who spoke about women directing and writing in an interview for Misrepresentation. This is what she had to say.
Over the years, the scripts and things that I've gotten, it's like you look at them and, you know, especially being a feminist and being all those different things, you want to be always portraying women in this really strong and smart and beautiful way. And it's like, but that's not really also true. And to really have true equality, it also means representing the women out there who sometimes aren't the best and sometimes do make mistakes. Those are the types of stories and types of things that I think really inspire me and why I want to do film, is to kind of give light to some of those people, sometimes when they're bad, sometimes when they're good, that maybe you really hadn't thought about putting yourself in their shoes. That's why it's extremely important for women to be writing their own stories, truly crafting those stories, writing them down, directing them, and giving them to people to really emotionally become impacted by. Because when my mom tells me a story or my grandmother tells me a story, I'm riveted. It's a life lesson to me. It's a look into a time capsule of what their experiences were, and it just is a revelation for what could possibly happen in my future. That's invaluable, and we need more people doing it.
More and more women have been introduced into the world of writing, telling stories with beautifully crafted characters. Cartoons such as Adventure Time, Bee and Puppy Cat, or Steven Universe have all different kinds of female characters with varying body types, traits, and skills that all make them incredibly unique and inspiring. Movies like the Hunger Games series or Zero Dark Thirty, Gravity, and Brave, they've all established very independent and real women in all kinds of age ranges. Additionally, a mention is in order for Orange is the New Black, a show that is made up of mostly women, including Laverne Cox, a transgender actress. The show has a pretty broad range of character types, and proves as a decent example of how to write female characters. It's an example of not only finely written female characters, but with a largely female cast and trans actress, there's so much more to look up to. If the industry continues to give good films well-written female leads, it could create a trend. Writing women has been coming forward, and with more encouragement, we could see so much more equality in the way of feminine people being written. Before I go into more issues affecting young girls, have a listen to L7's Pretend We're Dead. Welcome back to 91.9 The Cave. This is You Can't Be What You Can't See. Studies have shown that 53% of 13-year-old girls are unhappy with their bodies. That number rises to 78% at the age of 17. Subsequently, of the 8 million people found to have an eating disorder, around 7 million of them are women. This is the effect that magazines and advertisements have on children. With constant bombardments of images created in Photoshop, modified to have some sort of false standard of beauty, girls are fed lies about realistic standards and are treated unfairly by not only boys among them, but other girls as well. Overall, women tend to spend about $12,000 to $15,000 a year on beauty products and salon care. Women are taught so fluidly to place their value in their image and to be beautiful and sexy. It's such a powerful urge to fit something that's considered conventionally attractive that there are literally girls dying and being hospitalized in their attempt to fit the mold that's been set for them. There's always something wrong on the other end as well, though. While women are pushed to value beauty and image, men are taught to be powerful, dominant, or a natural leader. There are qualities set by society that have been deemed feminine and masculine, and while both ends are a good thing, there's a problem with understanding that femininity in men is not wrong, as well as masculinity in women. A large focus of feminism is the reclaiming of femininity for not only women, but men as well. If the world is to be accepting and to see both sexes as equal, we can't present one as weakness. There is strength in embracing both sides of the spectrum, or neither at all. In truth, no sex or gender should have to subscribe to any default ideas, behaviors, or traits. The sooner a feminine side can be embraced, and people can learn that embracing it is a very normal thing, the sooner there can be a greater forward movement in feminism. In concerns with masculinity, or strength in men, there is one thing the Representation Project hopes to achieve. If strength can be repurposed into more of a justice view, meaning fairness and equality, there's disturbing amount of male strength. Sorry, there is a disturbing norm of the male strength being in the power over others, but that does not bode well for those concerned with fairness. If the male strength can be used to work towards justice rather than domination, then there's an area for growth and acceptance. Defying these roles that have been established over generations for each binary gender would be a grand and beautiful step forward in the movement for equality and for keeping the appropriate kind of representation for all feminine people to look out for and feel an inspiring connection to. To accentuate the discussion of gender roles, here's Brautmobile's song, Make Me Miss America.
Thank you.
This is You Can't Be What You Can't See on CKVI 91.9 FM The Cave. Video games, music videos, movies, and TV shows have one quality that has brought out a major problem. The way some women are being represented is not only affecting the way women feel about themselves, but the way men act towards them in a more dangerous manner. Men who have been exposed to games and other mediums containing sexually explicit content have shown to be accepting of rape myths and sexual harassment, enforcing rape culture in society. However, there also proves to be more of an issue to this. While some men have been known to exhibit dangerous and abusive behavior in regards to this representation, there is also an expectation in women to be more reserved and refrain from sexual activity and similar vices. There's a large stigma surrounding the concept of virginity. If you haven't done it, you're a prude. If you have, you're a slut. There are unfortunate extremes that need to be forgotten. Overall, general acceptance of everyone's behavior should be the norm, so long as they aren't hurting other people. To enforce this idea, here's Mr. Integrity by L7 and Ballad of a Lady Band by Sleater-Kinney. We'll be right back. as a testament to giving girls a confident and empowered role model to look up to. Wonder Woman. Sorry. A popular character in DC Comics universe is a powerful example of feminine empowerment. For example, in regards to stigma about the way women dress and how they're treated based on their outfits, the situation involving a protest against Wonder Woman left her asking why she was being opposed. Here's what happened.
I am Diana of Paradise Island. Tell me who you speak of, and by Zeus, they will taste my steel. You gather to protest me? You! What is your problem with me?
You want the truth? You swing that sword with a smile and you scare normal people! And you dress like a whore!
This is not your truth. The lasso compels you. Now tell us your truth.
I cross-dress in a Wonder Woman outfit. It makes me feel powerful.
Embrace your truth, my friend. My outfit makes me feel powerful, too.
We better get going.
It's important to note that women dress the way they do for their own reasons, whether it be empowerment, comfort, or anything else. There should be no control or judgment of what they decide to wear. I also should note that particular sample was featured in Justice League War. Many superheroes like Wonder Woman, Hawkgirl, Black Widow, and Batgirl are examples of women who hold power and confidence and understand that they have freedom to dress as they want and be their own person. They recognize that women are treated differently for doing things that men do all the time, and they fight against it. Recently, actor Anthony Mackie was discussing his role as Falcon in Captain America 2: The Winter Soldier, and his excitement that he could play a black superhero on screen, and elaborated on the importance of representation with this quote: "There should be a Wonder Woman movie. I don't care if they make $20. If there's a movie you're going to lose money on, make it Wonder Woman. You know what I mean? Because little girls deserve that." The sad truth is, it's been a difficult fight to create the amazing Wonder Woman film to give those little girls that they truly deserve. For example, as it was written in a Wall Street Journal article in 2005, there were supposedly many films starring female comic book characters in the works, including Black Widow, Courtney Cronin, Underworld Revolution, and Wonder Woman being the most notable. However, of those four, only the Underworld sequel made it to filming. Here's a quote from former Marvel writer and co-author of The Science of Superheroes, Robert Weinberg. "Guys like girls dressed up in sexy outfits, but when it comes to the action, they still prefer the men doing it." Mr. Weinberg added, "Even the females prefer the men." Not only is it a good idea to represent these women more in the media, but to show others enjoying things that are commonly viewed as something geared towards men. Alex recently told me a story about a young girl who came into the restaurant she works in. There were mostly Spider-Man-oriented toys, and Alex asked which toy she would like with her meal, only to have her respond saying, "I think those are all for boys." It's an upsetting truth that toys and media are given a strange amount of gender-leaning stigma. I'll be going over an interesting project up next, but first, here's Idolus by The Distillers.
We'll be right back.
Now I'll be talking about a magazine that, instead of giving unrealistic standards that will give young women self-esteem issues and make other women confused and frustrated, calls out the other media on those very things. The Vagenda, a zero-tolerance guide to the media. I've looked through plenty of interesting sources for material that calls out the problems with women's press, but this one is by far the most amazing. The Vagenda is an online magazine run by Holly Baxter and Rhiannon Lucy Coslett, and has a great standing on pointing at women's press and letting out a great big no. The magazine took off quickly, getting around 10,000 hits in its first few hours. They make exposing the devious end of women's media especially interesting, as well as humorous. While the issues are not exactly a laughing matter, the journalists believe that humor, rather than anger, is a much better weapon against a problem. Coslett featured on Women's Hour on BBC Radio 4 in 2012, and had interesting things to say about the press and the Vagenda. She said, "A vagenda is a woman with an agenda, or specifically, a vagina with an agenda. Today's media is full of them. Unfortunately, more often than not, these vagendas are not your friends, particularly in the context of women's fashion and lifestyle magazines, which, quite frankly, have come to constitute one of the most underhanded instances of woman-on-woman crime. These unfriendly vagendas constitute as what they're calling a minefield of body fascism, constantly avoiding being stricken with an outpour of insecurity. There's an underlying message that you are your body, and your body isn't good enough." In particular, one interesting thing the Vagenda team has done is ask their Twitter followers to send them ridiculous headlines about female celebrities and edit them. Here's a great example. Hilary Duff shows off shapely legs in skin-tight jeans and towering wedges as she takes son Luca to lunch, which was edited to say, "Woman has legs." These headlines are a prime example of the ridiculous lengths the press goes to reduce women to the way they dress or the way they look, even so far as to sexualize her legs in tight jeans. The media has a lot to answer to the Vagenda for, and it seems to assuringly be gaining headway into dismantling a lot of the issues it hopes to bring to light. All the information from this portion of the show is credited to the Vagenda team. I'll lead up with some information about the representation project and its efforts, but first, here's Little Mouth by Sleater Kinney. The Representation Project was created to raise awareness and equality for gender, sexuality, race, class, and ability in media. Transforming culture, rewriting the story, and widening the spectrum of representation, changing behavior and challenging the status quo to forward the movement. Nothing is more important than having people realize that, no matter their circumstances, gender, race, or any other discriminating factor, they can reach their full potential and become so much more than stereotypes and ideas. Education initiatives are provided, and the project has aided in the distribution of powerful films such as Misrepresentation and The Mask You Live In, which is set to release sometime in 2014. Through the power of media, so many harmful and dangerous behaviors and ideas can be changed. Today's norms, though we may not see it in everything, are hurtful to a large amount of people. By going to therepresentationproject.org, you can see the videos and films they've created and beneficial media the project endorses. Infographics and statistics can be found on their website, as well as tools and the curriculum provided for those who would like to be educated on the subject. You can also take the pledge to use your voice to challenge society's limiting representation of gender. Be a voice for equality. Help give a voice to those who aren't given enough opportunity to have one of their own. Donations for the project are accepted in order to create more awareness, translate their films and media content, build campaigns to support the launch of their upcoming projects, and many other things. Thank you for listening to You Can't Be What You Can't See on CKVI 91.9 The Cave. I'll finish off the show with One More Thing by L7.
one more thing.